Welcome back to A Developer's Guide to Windows 10 Insider Preview. I'm Jerry, this is Andy, and we're here to talk about monetization inside your app and what is new with the Windows Store.
And there's a lot new, yeah. So we've got a lot to talk about.
We do indeed. Let's get right into it.
Yep.
All right, so let's start with the store. Windows Store is, of course, where your application, where users find your application. It's where you submit your application. And in Windows 8, the Windows Store was limited to apps. And of course, we have many stores here at Microsoft. You know, we have the Xbox Music Store. We have the Xbox Video Store. We have the Xbox Game Store. Of course, we've rebranded those to just music and video. But nonetheless, they were four different stores. And now we're coming together as a single store. Even in apps, it was separated, right? We had the phone store and the Windows store. Now that's converged as well to one superstore, the yep. Super Windows Store. I don't know if that's the official branding term, but it is this one store, this one Windows store where users can find absolutely everything. And imagine how beautiful that is, you as a user, right? You start searching for something. Here's an app that has that term, but here's a couple songs as well. Don't forget the movie made after the same thing and go on from there. Pretty neat experience, but you as a developer get to benefit from it tremendously. First of all, let's talk about just the idea of monetization around selling your app. So the simplest of all is I can sell my app. Just determine what it's going to actually cost, right? And there's a range that I pick from, and the users pay for that. And what's nice about it is when they do pay for it, they can pay for it with PayPal, they can pay for it with their Microsoft account, and even neater, they can pay for it with their, what's it called? Mobile billing. Mobile operator billing.
Yeah, so we have deals with loads of mobile operators, and in many parts of the world, maybe some places where they don't have ready access to credit cards, it's a very, very popular way of purchasing items. You actually pay through your phone bill.
You hear mobile operator billing, and you might think that's only for cell phones, but it's for everything. Yep. It's for everything, because it's just one store. So it's not that you can pay with mobile billing when you're on your phone, you can pay for it all the time. All right, so now, it used to be that we would submit our application to the store separately, and we would have separate device family store. You know, here's where I would submit for my phone, here's where I'd submit for now. It's just one perfect experience. Shared metadata across all of your applications. That means you start filling in all of the descriptions, you start filling in things for different languages, you get your in-app purchases filled out, all of these things, and beautifully, you've done it all in one place. That's the way that it should have been from the beginning, but we finally have made it, right? Very nice. We've got subscription pricing coming soon as well. That's a lot of things marked here as coming soon, but I'm excited about it. There's a lot of things that are really gonna be neat. The store right now, if you go to it, you can't really purchase an application until you go into Windows 8. That's not the way it's going to be in the future. You can go in and it is a store on the web as well. So I can go in and buy things like an app or buy things like music and video. Pretty great. There's also this idea of beta flighting. Now flighting is just the term of sending out betas, right? There's just quick little releases for the purpose of testing. This was in the phone store, but not the Windows store. Now that they're converged, they'll all have this flighting capability as well. Very powerful.
This will be a theme. We've kind of got the best of both worlds. So the best features that Windows Phone Store users experienced and the best features of the Windows Store. And it all comes together to give a great experience, both for developers and, of course, for the consumer.
Yeah. And we'll talk about advertising and how to not only advertise with banner ads inside your application or something like that, but also the ability to cross-sell, so you can have ads on your blog that are moving to sell applications that either you have or even other publishers, and you can get kind of engaged with that as well. And we'll also talk about this idea of brokering, so that I can create a series of providers so that if there are any fill rate issues with any of my advertisement providers, I can weigh those, and it's really a powerful way to make the most out of the monetization option inside your application. Another thing we have is this idea of house ads. Of course, this is nothing new if you're in advertisement. You know that house ads are your own advertisements, that if you do have a fill rate problem, or if it's not a fill rate problem, then it is just, you know, you want to cycle in a few of your own advertisements as well. And so our new advertising SDK kind of has that as well. Okay, let's look at some of the side-by-side comparisons to see where the store has come. We can look all the way back to Windows Phone 8.1. So not all, I say all the way back, wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Was it last build?
Yeah, about a year ago. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, so as you can see, that kind of backs up what I was saying about you getting the best of both worlds here. So looking across the different platforms, the experience with 10 is extends what we had before and brings the best of both. So things like differential download update, that's a really cool feature where only the bits that have changed in an app package will get downloaded to the to the end user. The file single instancing, if your package is linked to certain kind of DLLs and other apps are installed on the end user's device that also use those DLLs, well, the packaging system, the store system, is smart enough to know that those DLLs are already on the device and will not ship it all over again. It will just use that shared copy. And obviously, integrity is protected by digital signatures and things, so we know it's exactly the same one.
Both that and that differential download both protect really the bandwidth of when you're delivering, especially the devices might be sensitive to that.
Yeah, yeah. One little thing about encryption there. So in the past, if you like, with Windows Phone ZAP packages, 8.1 and earlier, in 8.1 we had those packages were encrypted. This is as it transfers from the store to the end user's device. They're not encrypted for Windows 8.0, 8.1, or indeed on Windows Phone 8.1 or Windows 8.1 using the AppEdge packaging system. Part of the reason for that is because actually when you install it onto an end user Windows device, you can actually get at the file. Mm-hmm. So we always advise you to use obfuscation to make sure that people couldn't decompile your app code and get at your code and steal your ideas. One good thing though, we have .NET native now, so we're compiling everything in the cloud. So everything that goes down to the end user's device is compiled to the bits and bytes. So it's as impenetrable.
They reverse engineer it now.
They have earned it. Whoa. Yes, it's well hard. Yes,
no doubt about it. And we do know that encryption is coming.
We are going to do that as well. But like I said, it's not so vulnerable anyway because we're compiling in the cloud.
That idea of publisher storage is also really cool, where you can have a folder where all the different apps installed on your device or any user's device can have a shared folder that they can move things in and out of as well. So that's also new in Windows 10.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that. We have a session coming up on app-to-app communications. That's one aspect of that. But yeah, think of it like a file share. Can you imagine that, a file share on a phone? It's like, whoa. And yeah, any app from the same publisher can read and write to that shared folder, which is pretty cool.
I think it is. Then there's this idea around distribution and the things that, how you get your app out of the store. And the first one is around hidden apps. Now, this is really important. This would be an application that if you don't have the URL for it, you're not going to be able to find it by searching. And so this is very, very valuable for me to be able to publish something up. And I intend it for a small audience. This isn't a security feature. This is more like security through obscurity kind of thing, right?
Yeah, if somebody posts the URL up on Twitter or something, I'm afraid, well, then it's open season. But it's a nice way of just distributing something to a targeted audience in a kind of controlled way and keeping it off the public and not discoverable through the public store search.
And if I create a price for my application, you know, that price makes sense for where I am, but maybe in other markets it's actually a little too low or a little too high. And so I can create a pricing schedule that is specific to every market. And that's really what I want to be able to do. And thanks to the Windows 10 store, we know that we can as well. Earlier we talked about this idea of flighting and betas, where I can put my application into the store. It's kind of a mini store. I can name users who are able to come in, get that, and be able to participate in really quick updates and feedback loops as well. Really nice. We've always had the ability to do trials. You could do a feature trial. What's the other one? Time trial.
Time-based trial.
You could do a time trial as well.
Yeah.
And people have asked for being able to do application discounts and codes and things like that. All of those are finally here as well across everything.
And it's just worth mentioning that actually all these features we're talking about, pretty much all of them, are you turn them on just at the time of submission when you're going through the submission process, You're on the website, the store website, and uploading your app, and then you can check all of these different options.
What about the certification process? Is there still a required process like there was in Windows 8 that you have to go through a certain amount of rigor, and you can sometimes be rejected if your application has certain issues that don't meet those requirements? Do we still have that?
Yeah, so we still have the WAC testing, the Windows Acceptance Kit, so that you can actually run your app through an automated test suite even before you submit. And this is the same set of tests that will happen to your app when it gets to the store in any case. So you can kind of shortcut any potential delays by making sure your app complies with any problems before you even mm-hmm. submit.
Applications that you create in Windows 8 had a great consumer story, but it was a difficult business story. And from time to time, we would have the difficulty of explaining all the tasks that an enterprise might need to go through in order to get the applications support, applications they wanted to purchase. And there was quite a difficult story there that is really a great story in Windows 10.
It's a great story, yeah. So in Windows 10, we've got this idea of a business store. So as Jerry said, to actually, if you were a business and you created some apps for your own use, you created them internally, or you wanted to acquire apps from a third party and get them to your employees, there wasn't really an easy process of doing that. I mean, yeah, you could put stuff on a SharePoint site, but getting hold of apps from a third party and distributing them, it was all kind of tricky, you know.
Yeah.
So now we've got this idea of a store within a store, and companies, enterprises, school, educational establishments, those kind of places, they can now sign up and have a portal where they can set up their own business store within a store. And their end users, when they go onto the store, they can see all the public store, all the normal apps that go through the normal channels, but then they also can see apps that are offered through their business store. And those apps can be private ones that your company has developed, or they could actually be a curated list of approved apps that your administrator has chosen from the public store and is offering them through the business store.
I think that's part of the story, is every company still remains in control of their own enterprise. So if you want to make sure that your users have access to the entire catalog, they can go and you can set that. If you want to make sure that they only have a certain list because you want to make sure nobody gets Angry Birds or whatever, you can totally do that, right? It's up to you as a business to decide what's right and to include your own custom applications and deliver them through the store that way as well.
And for you as an app developer, if you publish an app to the public store, by default, it will be available to any business store to select and offer it through their business store. And the business store can also do things like volume purchases of your app. And so, mm-hmm. and there's all license management built into it as well. So an administrator can allocate a copy of your app to a particular employee. And then if that employee leaves, they can revoke that access from that employee and then assign the license to somebody else. So volume purchasing is available. You as the provider of the app can also opt into offline licensing. This means that where there's a few sort of edge cases, if you like, where a business is going to be running apps on target devices that are offline, you can enable that. And you also, there's a way for an app developer, publisher to publish applications privately to specific businesses. So this is obviously going to be really interesting to ISVs. And what happens actually is that the enterprise forms a relationship with your Microsoft account, your publisher account, and that allows then, so that link, the business links to your developer account, and then you as the app publisher can select specific apps to be published only to that business, bypassing the public store. So loads of flexibility, kind of thinking of all the different ways that businesses and app publishers are going to want to interact with each other, and the new business store enables all of that.
So a great story for businesses and a great story for developers inside the store. Now let's turn towards Microsoft advertising. Another way to monetize your application is to advertise your app and to have advertising in your app. So let's start with the idea of purchasing. We talked about the different trials, but then we have this idea of advertising. We know that we can have banner advertisements. Those certainly aren't new. But what we do have is now interstitial video advertisement. And these have kind of shown themselves to be quite trendy, quite effective. People are making a lot of money with their sites and applications with it because of the way that it works, because it's something that is delivered, so it's something that they consume and you can measure whether or not they've actually done anything. You can even use that to reward reward them, you know, if you watch this video then, sort of thing. And we also have the advertising broker, which is very important because it allows us to take a lot of different advertising providers and to make sure that your fill rate goes higher based on the fact that it can fall through to other providers if any of them have a fill issue. So that's really great. I've seen some numbers on Microsoft advertising and how much more apps are making this year than they were last year. I mean, it's just, it's gigantic around growth. We also have this idea of in-app purchases, and we'll talk about that here in just a second, but there's two types of in-app purchases. There are consumables and durables. Consumables are the ones that, are coins consumables or a durable?
Durable is something that once you've purchased it, like access to
level four.
Yeah, you see, like once you've purchased it. You have access to it forever.
That's right.
Consumables, yeah, they're kind of tokens. So you use them up over time, and then when they're exhausted, you have to purchase
them. Currency inside your application.
Effectively,
Yep, and soon it'll be subscriptions as well. All of these things are kind of driving it. So let's talk about advertising.
Just before we do, I just want to say, are those three categories actually? Yeah. If you look at statistical analysis of the way people are making money, in general terms, and of course this varies from app to app and depends on your situation and
market and stuff.
Exactly. But in general terms, you know, people who are making money out of apps, only 10% of that is through actual direct purchase of apps. Yeah. 40% or so through advertising, and then 50% or so is in-app purchase is the heads away leader in terms of the effective ways that people are making money out of apps.
I saw for Xbox games, I think it was Call of Duty, the millions of that they make by selling the game, but in-app purchases, they call it downloadable content, is just, it's off the chart. It dwarfs it, you know, it's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah. All right, advertising your app. So this is the ability to promote your application. You can do this, you can auto-target or you can manually target based on the gender, age, and location. And you can have all kinds of campaign analysis. So you can pay for things, right? You would have a campaign to see how well this effort went in order to do it. Or you can have it so you can cross-promote for free, right? This is cross-promoting, and you're trading with other people or inside your own set of properties, whichever you have. A couple of features that are on their way are the ability to use third-party analytics, expanding some of those targeting metrics that you can use, and an increased budget. I think right now the budget is a $500 maximum, and it's going to be raised up, I think, to $10,000 so that you can finally start participating, Andy. I know you've been waiting.
I have been waiting.
For $10,000 cap. That $500 is cramping your style.
It'll be worth my while.
We're also introducing affiliates. So an affiliate is now you get to sell things that aren't yours, right? That's the idea. And so one of the things you get to sell are apps, games, movies, and everything that's in the store. And when you do, you receive a commission, as well as you can advertise and then track the advertisement that you're doing as well to see if whether or not that was purchased. Each one has a different set of metrics to follow as well, with a nice, simple, fast payment. So you get everything in one place. It's one store, so you get paid back in one check, so to speak. And you can also use some of your earnings to pay for some of the costs as well. And so you can do everything sort of internally without moving money around all the time and kind of losing a little bit of what you may have as well. So the store payout activity is centralized, as I said, and with much lower thresholds. So this is the amount that you need to make in a month before you get paid out. And so I just got paid out for one of my apps.
Great.
I made this app and I made it as a demo, and I wanted to show how to get it in the store. And I was so embarrassed that I put a price on it, $10. I just got a $200 check. Isn't that ridiculous? Like, these people are crazy. I mean, it does exactly what it's supposed to do.
You want your money back, email Jerry.
Yeah, just email. I'd be happy to pay you back. And but this lower threshold, I didn't get a check until it hit that $200 threshold.
Yep.
That threshold now has been lowered. And I'm not quite sure what the new thresholds are going to be. To be honest, they didn't tell us. So that's where we are right now. Okay, how do we include advertising inside your application? You do this with the Microsoft Advertising SDK. It's not as simple as just a reference. This isn't an extension. It is an extension, sorry. But it's not an extension that ships with Visual Studio. This is an installer that you go and you get from the gallery, at least right now. Who knows how it'll finally end up. There are a handful of banner ads that you might get. And this is just the beginning of the size that you want. Each one's sort of mapping to the type of application that you would have, And I'm sure this is now that, and I'm sure that now when we see this, it's going to be rebranded to not Windows Phone Windows, but it's going to be to mobile desktop and the different options that are available there as well. Anyway, you pick what's right for you. Obviously, we've seen applications that just do this in a really great way, and we've seen applications that are not role models. They have done it in a, they've picked the ones that just really aren't terrific. All right, so we have this new ad mediation, and so what's great about it is it maximizes your fill rate. If you don't fill, just means you're showing an advertisement, and if you don't show the advertisement, then you can't get paid. So that's what's great about it for sure. This video interstitial is a little bit different. The word interstitial just means in between, and what it's meant to do is, well, you know how sometimes you go in to read a blog, Andy, and right before you get to see the article, like you read it, the summary, you click to read more. Right before you get to read more, you get to see whatever this advertisement is.
Yeah.
That's the idea of there's sort of a natural break in whatever the user is doing. You don't interrupt them and say, oh, here's something for that. No. It's while they're doing something, you just put something in between. That's the interstitial. And video interstitials have turned out to be really popular. They're really easy for us to implement, and I'll show you that here in just a second. It's already available now for Windows 10, so as quickly as the store opens, you'll be able to submit an application that utilizes these, and the ability to add these to your Windows and Phone 8.1 are coming very soon. So I've got a demo here that, let me walk through adding a video interstitial. We'll start here in Visual Studio. And I've got just a blank application. So this blank application, remember it's using our template 10 blank. And the first thing I'm gonna do is just add a button so that I can invoke the video interstitial. You would not do it this way, Andy. You would do it so that there's a natural flow of the user's workflow that you would be putting this into.
Yeah, but just so we can trigger
this
it.
This is a quick, yeah, I'll put everything inside the click handler in the background here. All right, so here I am. This is all going to be event-based, and I'll show you here in just a second. Remember, I have to add the advertising SDK to my project. I've already installed it. That's the reason it showed up in the list of extensions. And so now let's implement some of this in the button click here. Right, so the first thing is just to get the video interstitial. And so I'll new this up as just into an ad. I'll say microsoft.advertising.winrt.ui.interstitial-ad. Because you get paid by the dot, I think, on that one. That
it
is
must
crazy.
Be, yeah.
All right, remember, this is events-based. So I'm going to create a quick anonymous method here just to handle error occurred. This means that I've shown the video, and maybe I'm saying you can continue to the next level, but you can't continue until you've watched the video. But if an error occurs, I don't want to punish you because there's something wrong with the service, right? So there's also canceled. So this means that the user has stopped the video. So I'm saying you get some sort of reward, but if you cancel in the middle, this is the way I would detect that, and I wouldn't give you the reward as a result, right? So this means you didn't watch the video. There's another event to handle. In fact, there are two more. The next one is the completed. So this is the happy path, right? This is saying the user, not only did they see the video, they completed it, and there was no error or anything. So if you're promising them level 4, then they can move on to level 4 or whatever it is. And so again, I'm just putting comments in there, nothing to do, but I would, in my application, actually invoke something. And so the last thing is ad ready. So we need to load up this video so we can show it right away. So this is saying that the ad is ready to be shown. So I would fetch this earlier and do it right here. So here's when I show it, but that means I don't wait for it to download. That means it's already downloaded and ready to show. I'm going to paste in my app ID and my unit ID. Every advertisement SDK for every advertising company does it the same way, right? They all have these two pieces. So I'll say I'm going to request the ad, and what type is it going to be? It's a video, and then I'm going to pass in my app ID and my unit ID. Yeah, so when I click the button, it'll immediately request the ad. And then let me put some breakpoints here, and we can see which events occur in what order. And so obviously clicking the button will cause it to request the advertisement. So the first thing I'll do here is, I don't even need to do this probably, but I'll just disable the button to make sure I don't try and request it two times. So I've defaulted to ARM, so I'm going to switch over to x86, and let's run this locally, and we'll see the button. Now that I'm thinking about it, this button is going to be covered by some text. It's all right. All right, so here's my application. Let's let it load. All right, so it's right there behind the text, but I can still click
it. It's a beautiful Beautiful UI.
Thank you, thank you. So, see, my ad ready has already fired, so that means it's downloaded the initial content, and I can immediately show it. So I hit F5 there, and you can see it's just a video for Xbox that's showing here. This is one of the defaults. But look in the bottom left corner. That's a countdown timer of how much you have left to, in order to see. You go 3, 2, 1, and it goes to 0. And now a new event is raised, and this time it's the completed event. And from this point forward, my application can take over and reward the user for watching that video, because now I'm also rewarded by my ad company, you know, for showing that video as well.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah,
it's good.
Simple implementation. Yeah. And obviously you would flex it to be whatever type of application you have. So these interstitials, it's a very trendy and very nice approach. It's clean. Users tend to like it more than banners, I think just because they're interesting, to be honest. Okay, some considerations around this type of advertising is to make sure that you think about it in the design phase. I don't know how many times I've seen an application that has added, even around banners, they've put a banner in their application, clearly they just jammed it in, right? They have this beautiful app, and then it's not sized properly to accommodate a banner, but they wanted to monetize with ads. So do it in the design phase. Show video ads only during these natural breaks. Okay, you're in between level 3 and 4, level 4 is locked, you need to watch a video. You know, you're about to save. If you want to save, then you have to watch a video. Whatever it is that might be natural, but you don't interrupt them by any state. Associate it to an upside, some sort of reward. That's sort of a new idea. You know, I certainly never did that with banner ads. It's a neat and great idea.
And I guess the real key thing here is just not to really irritate your users, you know? So if you force them to watch an advert when they just launch the app, that's kind of guaranteed bad reviews for your app, because they want to get into the app. That's why they've launched it. So sure, you know, you can show them videos at the appropriate point. But don't get in the way of the user's work. That's kind of a bad news thing.
And don't just back them up. And the next one, and then do it again. And again. I got 5 videos to show you.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Jerry will be doing an app like this very soon and charging for it as well.
So, exactly. I'm going to call it anti-pattern.
There you go.
That's
perfect. It'll be an instant hit.
I'm going to make
it
a fortune.
You will.
All right, in-app purchases are both durable and consumable. So remember, durable is like buying the next level. Consumable is buying something that's going to run out then. And so that's the in-app purchase concept, straightforward. But I think implementing an in-app purchase is going to make it a lot easier. It's not going to be a difficult thing here, but let me just pull together. We have a blank template, but we also have this sample template, sort of a to-do kind of application. Still using template 10 on the back end, but it's kind of laid out in a nice way. And so let me just show you what this application looks like, right? I know you've seen it, Andy, since you helped me build it, of course. But just a series of to-do lists and some items here, so I can star them, making them my favorite, or I could check them off. Here, I could add, if I want to go to groceries, I could buy some cola. I don't know. Does people even call it cola?
Yeah.
Sure. Of course you do. I'm sure it's flavored like shrimp or something, too. All right, anyway, something to do in my new list, right? It's just normal functionality that you would expect. I just wanted to kind of show how it's laid out. This is actually using a hub control. And so, anyway, let me close out of the application here. And I'll go in. And we'll just make some edits to the UI so that I have a place for a banner ad. And so I don't need to go through the whole process of an actual banner ad. So I'll just put in a rectangle. And remember I told you, it's just a hub control. So here's that hub control. And of course it has a hub section. So I'll add a brand new hub section just right in front of it, just for the advertisement. So a hub control requires a data template. And inside this data template, we'll just put in a rectangle that's 400 high and 150 wide. So this might represent what you would put in as an advertisement. In fact, let me just go ahead and show you what it looks like. I'll run it right now. It'll drop it right in at the front of the UI. So just imagine, you know, some sort of Halo game advertisement shows up there or something like that. All right, beautiful. All right, so that's it. And so what's the in-app purchase? The in-app purchase is going to be our ability to get rid of that advertisement. And so I have my buttons at the top. I'm gonna copy it and change it to a remove ads. And so I will bind this to a remove ads command, which of course does not exist. I'll show you where that button ends up though. See up at the top, I've got that little shopping basket. click that, nothing happens now because it doesn't exist. But if
we need to program that command.
We're going
to,
wire up a quick command.
Yeah.
So this is the main page view model. So this is everything that's the logic behind the main page. And so I'll just add a quick, I have a snippet that creates a iNotify property change. And so I'll create a property here, the show ads, and that'll just determine whether or not the ad is supposed to be shown. And then I'll create, I have another snippet for a command because I create so many. And so a command, this is what it's actually going to do. So when they click it, the to-do, whatever's inside this anonymous method is going to run. So the first thing I'll do though is I want to use that show ads. And the way I'll do that is, that is a Boolean. Let me think here. So I have I'm going to bind it. I just rebuilt, right? So I'm able to see the variable. And so the data context, I'm looking for the show ad. There it is. So this is show ads, and it'll yes or no to visibility. Of course, we know that's just not correct, right? We can't set visibility to a Boolean. We need to do a conversion of that. So just really quickly, I'm going to build an I convertible and an I value converter. And so I've got value converter right here. And let me reference this handy one that we have in template 10 called value when converter. And so the first thing you determine is what value are you receiving? So when I get a Boolean of, so remember it's show ads is true or false. So when it's true, I am going to make it visible. So that's, show ads is yes, so I make it visible. Otherwise, what am I going to pass in? I'm going to pass in collapsed. So that'll just toggle between visible and collapsed based on whether or not show ads is true. And I'll make this reference to this converter using the visible when true. So obviously I would do this somewhere other than right next to it on a normal page. I wouldn't do it, but for a demo I will. So the first thing that happens is I'm going to set show ads. So this is no in-app purchases occurring yet. I'm just testing the functionality. Wait a minute, something is backwards. The default value for show ads is going to be false. I'm going to set it to true. So it does show the ad. That's why it didn't show up, sorry. All right, so let me, I'll run it again. So there's our red advertisement. And if I go over and click shop, it removes it. All right, so we've got the basic functionality. Now let's turn it into an in-app purchase. So an in-app purchase, I am going to create a service here. So there's the logic for an in-app purchase is big, right? To really do it in a robust way. So I'm going to create the in-app purchase service. And I have the code for the in-app purchase service here in my clipboard. So I'll paste it in, and we'll include this on all the code that we have. And it's akams/template10 is how you get to all the demos that we're doing for this MVA as well. All right, so there it is, all set up. I'm back inside my view model, and I will make an instance of that service so I can make the helper, isn't it? So I can make a difference. All right, so here I've got it, I'm ready to go, and what it needs is, what's the name of this feature, or what's the name of this in-app purchase? So this is ad-free, and that's gonna match the in-app purchase I set up in the store, which I don't need to do because this is only in the debugger. So I'll set it up, and then I will actually call service. Those are all the lines that I really need. I'll make this an async method. And when I do, it uses a simulator, so it doesn't talk to the actual store. All right, so this is what the simulator pops up for me. I determine what the result is going to be. So in this case, I'm going to return just OK. And as soon as I do, it takes it away. Now, the service is built so that once this is not in debug mode, it'll reach out to the real store and have the user fulfill the entire payment, and we can use mobile operator billing and things like that as well. But you can see it's as simple as just saying setup and then dot purchase. It returns a true or false that I set into show ads, and so I just reverse it, right? So if it returns a true because they did successfully, then obviously I reverse that to don't show ads anymore.
Cool.
Just like that, it gives them the option to cancel the purchase as well in case they click that little shopping button.
And that in-app purchase simulator is part of the API set. It's something that comes with all the tools you get.
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay, so that's the in-app purchase. Here's the code that you can kind of feel what it would have been like. So see, I've wrapped it in a conditional compilation here. Remember, I only want to see this while I'm debugging. So while I'm debugging, I use the current app simulator. Of course, when I'm not debugging, it's actually just current app dot. And then I get the license information, and the license information for something specific like ad-free. And I see whether or not it's active, which simply means that whether or not the user already owns it. Well, that's great, because if they already own it, I don't want to prompt them to buy it again. Finally, then I can call this request. You can see it's asynchronous. That's because a UI then, my application's not in control anymore. I hand off to the operating system to do all the purchasing, and it just gives me the result. So that's pretty nice. And if it's a successful or already purchased, then I return true or false depending on what's right for me. Right? Pretty nice. And I can I swap out show ads in this case. So that's the basic implementation of in-app purchases. And of course, there's tons of samples. That hasn't changed since Windows 8.
No, and the samples and everything, all the walkthroughs that you can find online for 8, they apply just the same to 10 UWP apps.
That's right. So Windows Store provides a lot of ways for you to be able to monetize your application. Not only can you sell it, which we know is actually a minimal way, but you can also advertise inside of it. You can cross-promote inside of it. You can also be an affiliate now to make money by selling other things. And of course, we know we can advertise inside of it and use in-app purchases to not just remove advertising, but also to expand the functionality of your app as users buy it. So that's kind of a freemium model, right? Where you get the application for free, and then because of in-app purchases, you expand its capabilities of things that you buy. Very popular approach. Very popular approach.
Very good. Okay, so that was the session on the store. We looked at one store, including the business store, the ways that you can monetize your apps, the advertising in-app purchase techniques that you can use to earn money from your apps.
That's right. We're going to take a 10-minute break, Andy. Is that all right with you?
Yep, and we'll be right back. See you soon.